Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another exciting chapter of the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm your host today, In7 Legend, and that's because
I am assuming direct control.
That's right. Dad is out of town, and we are throwing a party. We are bringing in the kegs right now as we speak. My fellow patrons here have brought the tap, right? You brought the keg taps. And we are going to punch holes in the wall because Dad's not home and fuck him. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, if we're 1 minute in and I've already dropped an F-bomb, so clearly this show is already going to go off the rails. We are here in the October patron chat. And joining me here are Magister Davida and M. Jamar. If you haven't met them, they're really cool guys, so I'll give them each a second to introduce themselves. Magister, why don't you get us started?
Magister Davida here. Always a pleasure to come on to the Mass Effect Lorecast. So, yeah.
And M. Jamar?
Yeah, M. Jamar here. You know, don't really make it to too many of these, but I'm always glad to be here when I do.
Of course, and we are always happy to see both of you. So today, we have brought a very interesting discussion topic, and this one's courtesy of Magister Davida here in chat. And I see in the Discord call, I see in chat that Scarlett Hansa says, "No more Garvug. No, we need part 1002." I know. I desperately wanted to bring you part 8 of Garvug, but there's simply no more Garvug to talk about. But today, we are talking about how the Milky Way would change given the events of Mass Effect 3 and how the Reaper War ended. And of course, the Reaper War can end multiple different ways because it's up to you to pick. But with that, why don't I toss it over to Magister? Magister, you brought this topic up. It was very, very well put, the way that you put it, much better than I just put it right there. So why don't you tell us a little bit more of like how you got this idea and what all it entails?
Absolutely. So the idea came from actually from the Garvug episode conversations that were occurring. When you guys were talking about the Krogan and the cause and effects that would occur after all these different dynamics were taking place with that war. So I thought, okay, well, Shepard has done way bigger ebbs and flows from his different choices that he made in the game, especially when it got to the big three: control, synthesis, and destruction, destroy. So seeing how things change with the races, with the planets, with the military, whatever else, that's kind of where I was coming from with that. So that was the main idea.
Yeah, I love that idea. And so we're going to break this down because we want to include as much of the Mass Effect fandom as we can. So we are going to break it down. And first, we're going to talk about how the Reaper War would have changed the Milky Way if you chose control. And if I'm not mistaken, the last time I looked, the statistics showed control is the least picked ending of the big three. So there could be some really interesting, you know, like unintended consequences of picking Control. And then after that, we're going to talk about how the Reaper War might have changed with Synthesis. And finally, we're going to choose or talk about how the Reaper War may have ended with Destroy. Maybe if we have time, we can talk about with Refuse as well, right? Because that might be fun, talking about how, you know, who's going to be the top dog in the Milky Way after you choose just Refuse, as fun as that is to give that catalyst a final kind of, you know, FU. That would be pretty fun. So we'll see if we have time. But first, I want to talk about Control. So, just to remind everyone, when you pick Control, if you have never played the Extended Cut DLC, something kind of creepy happens, in my opinion, where Shepard latches on to the handlebars of the left side of the Crucible and just kind of disintegrates. And it's, in essence, choosing what the Elusive Man has been trying to tell us the whole time, that you could, in fact, dominate the Reapers. Not destroy them, but dominate them and harness their power, unlimited power, and use it for whatever you deem to be good. But if you choose Control, Shepard becomes like a god. And there's this creepy kind of post-mortem dialogue from Shepard where Shepard's like, infinite, eternal, these are words the man I was used, you know, and it's kind of just weird because you're like, okay, wait, you're not Shepard anymore? Or are you? And now I'm concerned about who's controlling the Reapers. At least that's from my point of view. If you liked Control, I think the appeal is that you would take the burden solely upon yourself, that you don't want anyone else to pay or to die, or their lives to change because of your decision to save the galaxy. I think that's part of the appeal there. Yes, as Day Zero in chat here says, Shepard becomes a cyberpunk AI. It is kind of similar to the way that Alt Cunningham acts in Cyberpunk. And so, anyway, I want to open it up here. You know, Magister, why don't you take us first? Do you have any ideas how the Reaper War would change the Milky Way on just a colossal level?
One of the main things I just thought, was thinking about, and unfortunately to your career, this is a renegade Shepherd. So the poor journalists and news people.
No! Or, rip, Kalisa.
This is punch reporters in the face Shepherd becoming a god. That's just a Big Brother state is in full effect at that point, watching over everybody. Also, just Shepard be going the full route of a die a hero or live long enough to become the villain. Because at the end of the day, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And as good as Shepard can be, we also see Shepard can do some really messed up things as well. And I don't know about a god tier level Shepard. I think he could end up doing a lot more harm than good. I feel like there'll be a lot more refugees. It'll probably get to like Star Wars Empire level of people trying to fight back and fight against this significant being. I don't think the war will truly end. I think it will just become more guerrilla warfare type situations.
So let's address the first point that you just brought up, that it would become somewhat of a Big Brother surveillance state. I find that really interesting because it kind of would, right? The Reapers are already capable of tapping into communications however they see fit. And if you have Shepard who's hell-bent on protecting the galaxy at all costs, as we hear in Shepard's monologue after you choose Control, that Shepard would crush any who dare threaten the galaxy. Well, how is Shepard going to determine who's threatening the galaxy, or perhaps threatening those who Shepard liked? So I find this really intriguing. I want to open this up to MJMR as well. MJMR, do you think that Shepard would basically hands-on control any narrative that's happening in terms of current events post Control ending Mass Effect 3?
I mean, like, Control Shepard, isn't he basically the Reapers at that point? So like I kind of see it as just like the Reapers are going to continue their cycle, and but maybe it will be like more indirect, and be like, okay, well, we're going to snuff out these races or groups as a terms of like ending the war, but really it's, you know, the Reapers carrying on their justice or their plans. But I definitely agree with Magister about like the surveillance state, like the authoritarian rule. I could definitely see that, but I feel like it would be more disguised, like yeah, similar to maybe some Darth Vader type of situation.
The ever looming threat, basically, of Shepard controlling all of the Reapers and just waiting for anyone to step on the wrong eggshell. Do you think that that kind of threat would carry, like, would trickle down almost into governmental structures? Like, what's the point of respecting the authority of the council, right?
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. Like it's, I imagine, you know, he'd have his little his pawns to get indoctrinated and, you know, carry out his will. You know, I guess the council would be first. I mean, Anderson, I guess he would be dead, but you know, he'd get someone else. Maybe Liara. Ooh, yeah, Liara would definitely be in that indoctrination role. I feel like, and probably in a powerful role. You know, considering she's so close to Shepard and. They might not even know better. They'll think this is the right thing to do.
Magister, do you think that any form of government around the Milky Way would hold any legitimacy with a post-control Mass Effect universe?
Definitely not. Like I said, the Star Wars emphasis of the Empire, I think they would really cave into all that. Because at the end of the day, the Citadel, the central power, is basically underneath Shepard's full control. Like he is there. That is basically kind of almost like his seat of power. So if that's a centralized government of the whole galaxy, and this human godlike being is now in control of it, I see it becoming much more of a human-centric galaxy. He might not intend to do that, but when you see the cause and effects of Mass Effect 1, potentially a Shepard letting the council die, or the later on, whatever other choices he makes in 2 or 3, I could definitely see him pushing the Renegade Alliance narrative, or even like start to wipe out certain governments. Like I could definitely see the Batarians,
I was
like
gonna
they
say,
gone.
colonist, sole survivor, renegade
Yeah,
shepherd,
that's
having his
exactly what I
way.
was, yeah, like that's exactly what I'm saying with they'll probably snuff out certain races, like oh, Batarians, yeah, they're gone, like, and maybe it's just subconscious, you know, because of that shepherd's past or what his renegade or paragon standing. But definitely I agree with Madras what he's saying, like Batarians are gone. Maybe the Yogg too, I don't know, like why not?
Anyone who crossed Shepard would be in for just an absolute pounding. Like, and yeah, because of that, you know, it would be hard to view any government with any kind of legitimacy because it's like, even if they are enacting edicts that aren't coming directly from Shepard, you have to think, is he or she indirectly influencing them? Because you would think that Shepard then would control the power of indoctrination still, right? Nothing physiological, if you can call it that, changed with the Reapers, and Shepard would just inherit all of that power. I would wonder, like, going a little bit further down that thought process, I would think that that would probably cause some level of civil unrest, perhaps uncivil unrest. Where, because you're not with control, you're not changing the nature of the galaxy. Really, all what you're doing is taking control of the Reapers. So the races, they still have the same desires as they always wanted. You know, they're still going to want self-autonomy. They're still going to want to govern over themselves. And when they quickly learn that the threat is ever present and you dare not cross Shepard, there's probably going to be riots in the streets. And what then, I guess, my question is, if that is the nature of post-control Mass Effect 3, then what is to say that the cycle didn't just continue? I mean, Magister, do you think that in a post-control Mass Effect 3 that the cycle would necessarily have to continue? Because technically, the Reapers aren't harvesting anymore.
I think it would be a new edition of the cycle, because there's no need to fully wipe everyone out anymore. It's more so becoming a police state situation. Like, if you become the nail that's sticking up, I'm going to hammer you down. And at the end of the day, a lot of these civilizations, or a lot of these cultures, the Asari, their home world or their main planet got practically like taken over by the Reapers or destroyed as well. The Turians, they were fighting a hard, strong battle. Potentially Krogans are still have the Genophage affecting them. No one is in a good place to really rise up and become a problem. So it's more so just monitoring people, making sure no one is causing any particular issues, too much of an issue. There's no need to wipe everyone out. I just got to control you.
And M. Jamaro, I mean, what do you think in terms of civil unrest, the intrinsic desires of the Milky Way galaxy to govern themselves, when ultimately there's a higher power over everybody?
Yeah, I do mostly agree with Magister. But I do believe some groups like the Krogans, they're not letting that slide. Like, I think after some time, they're just too badass, and they're just too angry to really not rise up, you know. And if they die, so be it. But I think that's one group, and maybe the Asari, I could see them, you know, planning some long-term idea to maybe try to combat them, since they do live long, and the Krogans as well. But yeah, I think these races, they have a lot of, their culture is full of, they have a lot of willpower in their culture. You know, they're very, they fight hard. They don't give up. So, you know, I think those two races specifically would be the main ones that you see that civil unrest.
I guess it really depends upon how hands-on Shepard wants to be as king or queen of the Reapers, right? Because in the normal cycles before Mass Effect 3, the Reapers were completely hands-off, if you want to call it that, every cycle until it came harvest time. And I say kind of hands-off because they did manipulate the flow of evolution. They strategically planted different technological inventions so that the patterns of evolution were the same every time, the Citadel, the mass relays, and whatnot. However, in the post-control, or in the control ending in the extended cut, we see Shepard saying, and we see on screen, that the Reapers are tasked with helping rebuild. So they are hands-on, at least in some constructive way, at face value. It depends then how hands-off Shepard wants to be after the fact. But Shepard has already, like, proclaimed in that monologue that Shepard would basically be ever-present, ever-watchful for any kind of threat that posed to anyone in the galaxy. Okay, is Shepard going to take this kind of deist, libertarian view of governance where where Shepard deems that his or her only responsibility is the, galactic defense and purely military? Is Shepard going to get involved politically? Maybe if there's some kind of policy that's passed where Shepard thinks that this could ultimately lead to some kind of military conflict down the road. But also, when Shepard says that Shepard is going to defend the Milky Way, from whom? Because there's no real threats outside the Milky Way that we know about to the Milky Way.
Like, to me, it just sounds like an excuse to be a dictator. Like, it just sounds like a cop-out. Like, yeah, I got to defend. I got to protect people. Like, well, I thought we defeated everyone. And obviously, yeah, there are other threats. But it just, like, you know, it's definitely giving authoritarian guy that wants to be in charge.
Shepard pitching the idea that Shepard is, you know, not against using the military to defeat the enemy from within, which is essentially what it would have to be, because there is no, there is really no alternative that we know about, at least. At least Shepard even would not be aware of any threat from outside the Milky Way, unless the Reapers were and no one else was, because they were going into dark space for dormant. But why don't we shift the conversation a little bit right now? Because I want to talk about what good things might come of a post-Control Mass Effect 3 ending. And I know it's hard to pick, but I'll go ahead and start us off, and then I will toss it to Magister. I think, number one, a good thing that might come of a post-Control ending in the Milky Way is they are physically safe from any external threats, whatever those might be. And there might be some. Maybe they'll write some in a future, you know, installment of Mass Effect. But I think it's safe to say that the Reapers are more capable militarily than any other civilizations. So they would be safe. But Magister, what do you think? Just one good thing that might come of a post-Control Mass Effect 3 ending.
I think it'll be the technological and medical fields will probably expand significantly. With the Reaper technology, would imagine, or not just Reaper technology, the Reapers have all the technology downloaded from all the previous civilizations, as well as their biology as well, and the means to know how to alter that genetic tissue to even create new creatures. So imagine a Shepard with some benevolence passing that knowledge along. That would be a boon for any civilization, as long as he's willing, depends on how much he's willing to share.
I was just going to say, it really depends on how much Shepard would be willing to share, because maybe she doesn't want to share. But if he or she does, then Shepard could literally bring back like civilizations that were all but extinct, right? Because the Reapers harvested them, but they, if I remember right, they retained basically the copies of their genetic information to do so. So Shepard could be bringing back countless cycles of harvested species.
They have cloning technology too, so
there you go. I mean, all of a sudden, the Protheans are back. Javik's happy. Javik doesn't resolve in deciding to kill himself, which is, by the way, spoiler alert, that's kind of how he implies that he's going to, like, you know, finish his life after the ending of Mass Effect 3, which is really sad. I really like Javik. I don't want him to die, but we could also see the Inusanan. We could see any one of the other races that Javik had mentioned. We could learn a lot that way in a utopic, I guess, post-control ending. And Jamar, what is one thing that you think that's positive that could come from a post-control ending?
I mean, you don't, like, kind of like Magister said, you don't go backwards technologically, at least. So you, like, destroy everything is not destroyed and messed up. So, you know, you're not regressing. And also, I guess, you know, people are not dying. Edie doesn't die. Yeah, that's really all I cared about. Edie, you know, Edie doesn't die, and you're not going backwards technologically. Those are really the only two good ones I could really say. I mean, other than the technological advancement. But yeah, mainly those two.
The Geth wouldn't die either. So the Geth would still be around. And depending, I guess, how you negotiated the ending of Rannoch, that arc, I guess, you know, you could potentially have both the Quarians and the Geth, and the Geth are cooperating with the Quarians. And perhaps, you know, with that technological progression that Shepard would have in control of the Reapers, Shepard obviously still cares about Tally. So maybe Shepard would then make Rannoch even more habitable for them. And going on that thought process, maybe Shepard could, like, even make more worlds habitable for the Volus or other races that have these very severe constrictions on where they can live because of their biology. So maybe Shepard could, you know, terraform planets, essentially, with the Reapers. I guess that would be kind of cool to see. And that's a really, really rosy view of things. But I wanted
but to, at what cost?
But at what cost? Right. And so, anyway, I just wanted to round out that for control, because it's so easy to go negative there. But why don't we shift and talk a little bit about synthesis? So in a post-synthesis galaxy, what would that look like, do you think? And I'll start with Imjamar this time.
Man, that's a tough one, because I want to say it would be more peaceful. But then I'm like, would it, you know, would there be, would people be happy with you know, this change? I feel like overall it probably would be more, would be more in harmony. But I mean, I'm not like a fan of the synthesis ending, so maybe I'm biased. I feel like synthesis ending kind of goes against like a lot of the themes of like Mass Effect, with just kind of not individuality, but just, you know, knowing what path you want to take. But if everyone's synthesis, everyone's synthetic and also organic, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's no uniqueness, not a lot of diversity. But like I said, that would probably make it more, people would be more in harmony. Wouldn't be a lot of issues, honestly. It probably would be like pretty chill.
And I feel like that would probably, yeah, that would eliminate, it would tear down the divisions that we saw between the Koryans and the Geth. I can imagine them leaving even more harmoniously after that, because they would probably be able to understand each other better. In a more twisted view, maybe they could procreate together. I have no idea. And that, I mean, talk about, you know, making love, not war. I mean, can you imagine the family discussions that would happen when, oh, Dad, I'd like you to meet my boyfriend. His name is 012567. No, get him out of here. Where have I heard that before? Anyway, that would probably not go over that easily with the generation that still remembered what it was like before. And I'm willing to bet that there would probably be a cultural disconnect between the generation who remembered what it was like before and the future generation who would be born into this new, like literally new nature of reality. And you would think, what would that do to procreation rates? If everyone is part synthetic and part organic, then you would naturally think that maybe lifespan would be very long, if not immortal. And if the lifespan is that long for species like Salarians, for species like Krogan, for species like, can you imagine a part synthetic Krogan, how long they're going to live? For species like humans that are only the lucky to live to 150, right? How would that even change their society? Now, all of a sudden, there's less urgency to develop things in a quick fashion because you only have so many years in your life. I don't know. Magister, what do you think?
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
I mean, personally, I'm a little biased because I am a fan of the synthesis ending. That is my canon ending for myself. I think it would be very interesting. I do believe that there would be that disconnect there, but at the same time, any great change does require sacrifice. And I do think that the Synthesis ending leads to a better galaxy, in my opinion. Yes, there is the caveat that we have to trust the Reaper and believe that they're not going to do anything malicious afterward. But if they were being upfront with it, now we have societies who are on a more even playing field. We have societies that civilizations that are different levels of technology and intellect. I can't remember what that particular turn of phrase is, but it would push evolution to a next level. Like, a lot of times we get so caught on plateau once we've hit a certain threshold, but when you introduce that, I could see a more benevolent or more interesting cyberpunk level of connecting with organic and flesh. People being able to communicate with each other even better. Thinking about the Quarians and the Geth, I think they'll be the ones, if you were able to negotiate that and then have that ending, I think they'll be the new power of the universe. Because they're going to be the ones who are a bit more ahead of the whole let's combine AI and organics. They'll have the more of the technology to do said, since they've been the Quarians have been adapting so much more to tech, and then the guests who always kind of been having that in mind to begin with. So I think they'll be leading the charge forward with that as well.
Now, you brought up something interesting about, like, assuming the Reapers are telling the truth, and because the Reapers are speaking through the Catalyst. And this is something that just occurred to me, maybe it just occurred to other players as well, that if you choose Synthesis, the Catalyst is still around. Shepard's gone, but the Catalyst, it appears to still be in control of the Reapers. It's just that we have to trust the Catalyst in its claims about, what its mission would be fulfilled. What would the Catalyst do with nothing to do, right? Its mission has been fulfilled then, basically. So I would wonder, like, if it would lose purpose. Would the Catalyst have an existential crisis about, you know, what do I do with my life? Well, I don't have a corporeal form. I guess I could just watch for eternity. That actually concerns me a lot. What would an idle Catalyst do with still control over the Reapers, but everyone else is synthetic, but the Reapers are still there, and the Crucible has blown up, presumably. I don't know. I can't consider that the Reapers would willingly put the Crucible back together after using it for Synthesis, because why they would think, well, why would we need it? So the other races would really have a snowball's chance in hell if they ever decided that they didn't want to live under Reaper control or the ever-looming threat of the Reaper's power just around, right? Or maybe the implication is that the Reapers just go back into dark space and fuck off and just go do whatever. I don't know. What is one huge concern that you would have, Imjimar, with a post-Synthesis ending to Mass Effect 3?
Mainly that the Reapers are lying, and that it was just a ploy to, you know, continue the cycle, or, you know, they're going to leave, come back later, and then, you know, continue that cycle, see what you've done. But I don't know, I guess I don't trust the Catalyst, I don't trust that kid, I don't trust the Reapers, so... I definitely think it's like it would be a ploy, and at the end of the day, I don't think it would be good. But it would be cool. I think they'd be straight for like, I don't know, a few hundred thousand years or something.
Imjimar, what's a concern that you would have? And I know it's your canon ending, so maybe you're gonna have to reach deep into the bucket to find one. But what is one concern that you would have in a post Synthesis ending for Mass Effect 3?
For me, let's see. A concern would be the disconnect that you mentioned previously, like how bad is it going to get? Because you're going to have a lot of people who who feel that the Reaper technology, I imagine it could probably get quite dark with people not being copaceptic with having Reaper tech or technology implemented into themselves. Yes, it's a future civilization, so they have more bio and technological changes that have happened to their body, but to have that in them, I imagine some people who have PTSD who saw people change into the Reaper husks, having like the constant worry and paranoia of, oh my God, am I going to change at any time or any point? I feel like it will have major to the older generation, to the generation who will remember what happened before. It could potentially cause a lot of distress and worry and maybe even lashing out. They probably would have to invest a lot more in the whole mental health industry altogether.
I think it's quite likely too that, I mean, I know that the post synthesis ending really paints this utopic picture, right? But I feel like it's quite likely that there is not going to just suddenly be an end to wars. You know, that's part of organic nature. And even with synthesis, that organic part still exists within people. And so the catalyst tries to tell us that there will be no more violence because of there will be no more conflict between synthesis or synthetics and organics. But that's not the only source of conflict among organics. And as we saw with the Geth and the Heretics, that's obviously not the only source of conflict among synthetics. So I feel like the races of the Milky Way would probably just find another reason to fight. Although they are all part organic and synthetic, they're still different races. They still have different beliefs.
No, sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say that it's a great point. Like, they're still different races. They just happen to be part synthetic now. So yeah, they're still going to have their little nuances and their little quirks of each race or culture. So yeah, that's actually a great point.
But on the flip side of that, everyone is on a lot more of an equal playing field. We all have the same tech to us. Yes, we are different races, but at the same time, we have this unifying force with us. So there would be a lot more easy capability to have a more common bond. And then and in addition to that, there's no more mass relays. So it's going to be a time frame of a lot of people being on planets or galaxies, kind of stuck, kind of locked in. And yes, there might be some that like have those, some regions that have a lot more conflict, but there might be also other ones who are a lot more synthesizing with one another and more unifying and more utopic. So I feel like there'll be more like pockets of like maybe, oh, we'll use this to have more war in advance and everything like that. And there's going to be pockets of, oh, this is a more utopic type place until someone comes to a point where they can get galaxy travel.
Just because they're part synthetic now, and by they I mean everyone in the Milky Way, do you think that that also means that they would inherit the hive mind like consensus that the Geth can use, or rather do you think that they would be more individuals? Because Legion sacrifice at the end, if you allow him to upload the Reaper code upgrade to the Geth, it ultimately results in them becoming more of individuals. It increases their individuality. So is the synthesis, I guess I have a question, is the synthesis also, you know, basically making everyone somewhat of a hive mind? Or are people retaining their individuality like Edie has while also being organic? Or is it this kind of nebulous idea that everyone is both, where everyone is still an individual, but they can like almost empathically understand other people just because they share the same part synthetic DNA? What do you think, Magister?
I think it's going to be probably a combination of both. I think there's going to be those who are strong-willed enough or more so have such a sense of individuality that they're able to block out everyone else that is in there. But I also think there's going to be some people who will cherish the fact that they could probably connect that much more. I think you are going to see a lot more a combination of hive mind, but also potential spirituality. Like, imagine religions that crop up that like use the processing power of worship of a flock of people and hive mind and see what they can do. I think it's going to become it could probably become very much more like a Chinese fantasy genre. Like, dynamics will change. Like, people are going to be doing, experimenting different things. You're going to see people doing the whole, I can hack everything around me. I can have a hive mind connect with one another. There might be good or bad with it, but I think that it's going to set a new dynamic in Epitome.
Introducing the all-new Cyber Jesus 2186. He died for your sins, but he's back, motherfucker. Anyway, yeah, I mean, cyber religions that might come up, that's a really interesting idea, that religion might not be inherently eradicated from organic races just because they're part synthetic now. I mean, religion isn't really a topic that Mass Effect explored too much, aside from ancient aliens like ideas with the Hanar and even the, you know, Elatania with the Cro-Magnon hunter, and looked like, you know, alien intervention. Imjamar, I mean, what do you think about all this?
So, like, in just the context of like the of what again? Like, what exactly?
Talking about the fact that spirituality might not actually change if everyone is synthetic.
Okay, yeah. So, that, I mean, because they're still organic, you know, so they're still going to have the biological side. I feel like with religion, a lot of times you're just looking for answers for stuff, and synthetics, they might not. They're probably still looking for answers, you know. They think logically, so they might come up with, oh, they might not be a religion as we know, but it's like they're probably will treat it and idolize it like one. So yeah, maybe something like, you know, a cyber Jesus, a master hacker. Oh my gosh, he can bond with all the other synthetics, or, you know, something of that nature, something synthetic doing something that no one else can do. It's going to turn heads. It's going to be like, how can you do that? Well, he must be a god.
Maybe instead of fighting over who's our savior, they will fight over what the last digit of pi is.
Like, yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I really feel like that the fighting will continue, that people will find reasons. They will always find reasons to differentiate themselves from others, because it's part of the human, at least human, quality of wanting to feel unique. Wanting to feel part of a group, and to be part of a group, you must also have an out group. And so I feel like that part of like organic nature would survive. Maybe it wouldn't though, because all of a sudden everyone's also in the same group. But then again, you could argue for human beings that we're all human beings and that is a unifying group. However, we still find reasons to differentiate. All right, so shifting gears once again. Let's talk about Destroy. What would a post-Destroy Milky Way look like? And I'll start with you, Magister.
Destroy universe, we'll also still have I apologize. I said their term earlier. The mass relays, they're going to be destroyed. And now any AI, UI, any technology like that, that's also gone. So
I just want to jump in real quick, because this is a point of contention among the fan base, that does every piece of AI and advanced technology die, or is it just those with Reaper code implemented into them? Because that is a point of contention, and I know what we hear from the Catalyst, right, that AI, basically the AI painting this picture that a lot of advanced technology will go away and just as a reminder, you know, for the extended cut explanation, you have Hackett telling us that, you know, yes, the relays are damaged, but they will be rebuilt. And we do see them get rebuilt. So I'm sorry, continue on. I just wanted to jump in with that.
No, I appreciate that. It's definitely going to be a lot more analog, though. Even if it's not full Reaper tech, well, because at the end of the day, if everything is based off of Protheans, well, most of Prothean stuff is based off of the previous cycle and going all the way back to the Reaper. So Reaper tech can be probably in everything, to be truthful. So you still have a society that's going to have to rely a lot more on themselves rather than having that force to help force multiply things. So they could probably build the mass relays back again, but they're going to have to be going off for themselves. And I think it's going to slow down technology significantly, whether it be medical, whether it be the food industry. I think I feel like by that point in the future, they're relying on AI or some form of UI, advanced UI, to the point that they're, once that happens, things are going to slow down significantly. I think it's going to be a major change, almost caveman level of spacefare.
I would push back on that a little bit, just because I've seen and I've heard from developers on the Mass Effect team that they were actually surprised after they put out Mass Effect 3 and after the original endings. And a lot of people hypothesized, like you did, Magister, they went on the forums and they said, well, destroyed, like everyone's just kind of stranded, right? Like the Quarians can't get back home, the Turians can't get back home. And I've heard from developers that they were surprised at that reaction because they felt like it was a given that everyone's going to get home no matter what. It might just take a little longer, but, you know, they would get home. However, I do agree with you that they would not be able to advance in the same capacity as the Milky Way races under synthesis or under control. However, you know, an idealist might say that that's the cost of freedom, because in Destroy, it's the only ending where you don't have the ever looming threat of the Reapers still around. So, Imjamar, what do you think in terms of what would a post Destroy ending for the Milky Way look like?
Yeah, definitely mostly agree with you guys. The progress is going to be way slower compared to controller synthesis. However, I do feel like there's also going to be some innovation, a good amount of innovation, obviously not as fast. But when you have hard times like that, there, you know, humans, and I imagine other races as well, are going to work harder. They're going to be motivated. They're going to have more ambition because they have to do something. So, you know, they're going to fight harder, probably make more, invent more things to help them in their specific situation, not necessarily more technologically advanced than what they had, but they'll be able to make something happen. And yeah, it's just going to be a lot longer. And maybe Shepard is alive, so, you know, they got that leader to kind of give them the hope, you know?
Do you think that the conflict, the like the so-called inevitable conflict between the synthetics and the organics would pan out as inevitable as the catalyst puts it?
Like in Destroy?
In the Destroy ending, yeah. Because eventually the organic races would recreate AI. It's not like they've lost all their records.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna lie, I don't really believe the catalyst saying that. I feel like he's blown smoke. Because I mean, Destroy is my preferred ending. But I don't agree with that. I mean, it was already happening. The Geth and the Quarians, it was already happening. Okay, if it happens, like, so be it. But it's like, maybe it does, maybe it would happen, but it's not gonna be on the scale that he's talking about. We still have to rebuild technology. So I'm not really buying what he's selling.
And Genesis just joined us. Welcome in, Genesis. I don't know if you're at liberty to speak or if you're listen only.
No, I'm semi here. I've got about a 10-minute drive home and then I can actually be in chat.
Well, since you're here for a limited time, I want to toss it over to you. What do you think a post-Destroy ending for the Milky Way would look like?
Oh, there would be a massive amount of rebuilding and kind of restructuring of everything on an individual level. We now have alien races stranded on planets that they don't originally belong to. We have races who may or may not have worked together in the past cohesively, now learning how to rebuild and restructure things. I could see complete governmental overhauls at the planetary level. I don't think that the Mass Effect universe is going to be as big. It's going to be very, very small.
That's a because great point.
We no longer have the ability to travel these vast distances easily and quickly. So everything's going to be at a planetary level.
Yeah, that would probably slow down economic development too. But you would think that, you know, when organics are faced with crises, especially post-war history shows that people cooperate in rebuilding efforts a lot. We also see in a lot of post-war history, especially World War II, that reproductive rates go way up. People have a lot of babies, talking to you baby boomers. So I would wonder if that would also be a consequence of destroy, where that we may not see in synthesis because people have become part synthetic. So maybe the need for, or the desire or any kind of threshold for reproduction would not be the same as destroy. Magister, I wanted to ask you real quick, because I'd asked M. Jamar, what do you think about in a post-destroy universe? Do you actually think that the so-called inevitable conflict between synthetics and organics is as inevitable as the catalyst puts it? Or do you think that perhaps that's a byproduct of the way that Reapers were manipulating the evolution of these organic races time and time again?
I think it is inevitable. I think it's inevitable because the saying, if you don't learn from the past, you're doomed to repeat the mistakes, was the fact that, like it's been mentioned a couple of times now, everything will slow down significantly. There's going to be a lot more probably like desperation, but also limited means in being able to keep the history, because I imagine that's probably going to be a technology itself. It's going to take a major hit. Data probably will take a major hit. And it'd probably be very easy to forget the lessons that we learned from the Reapers, from the Geth. And eventually, we could end up having a civilization like the Borg from Star Trek. I think that you have all these pocket planets who some of them will try to build these things, and they don't have that unifying force of the synthesis, and they don't have the God tier being of Shepard watching out for it. There's probably going to be a lot more chances of something like that, some freak accident on a planet building itself up and eventually trying to take over the rest of the galaxy.
I think that you're right. They wouldn't have the same kind of structure, but that's also the other edge of the sword that we were talking about, with the ever-present threat of the Reapers, thereby delegitimizing any kind of provisional government that might come after the war. However, there wouldn't be the same kind of power vacuum in a post-control, in a post-synthesis ending that I think that we would see in a post-destroy ending. I think that there's, in a post-destroy ending, there would probably be a big power vacuum, because all of a sudden, the existential threat is gone. And who's left standing? Thessia has been decimated, as has the Turian homeworld, as has pretty much everyone's homeworld at this point. So who is going to vie for power? Who is going to reshape the political structure of the council? I think xenophobic influences like Terra Firma and Cerberus would probably find themselves galvanized. Look at that huge Reaper alien invasion that just happened. And they invaded our homeworld, and we need to put us first. And I think those kinds of conflicts would probably become more common, because there wouldn't be this authoritarian military power of like God Almighty, the Reapers, looming over everyone. Be that in a police state or be that in a benevolent way. Genesis, what do you think in terms of, you know, post-destroy Milky Way power structure? Do you think that there's going to be a lot more fighting than the other two endings? Okay, Genesis might be busy driving right now. So I'll toss that question over to M. Jamar. What do you think?
Like in terms of who's going to be in control?
Yeah, or in terms of a power vacuum, you know, like in control and synthesis, the Reapers are still around, so they can wield that iron fist and keep people in line if need be, and there's not going to be chaos. But the argument always comes with freedom comes a certain level of chaos, a lack of order.
Yeah, I mean, because when you were saying everyone's saying all the other racist planets, I'm like, yeah, who is standing really? I mean, what happened with the Hanar? Are they, maybe the Hanar could take over? Realistically, though, probably I could see the Yogg, even though they don't have like actual influence, but everyone is hurt. So, you know, they could be the Vultures and take over. They're getting smarter, I guess. You know, they're evolving. If not the Yogg, but maybe like the Asari, or the Krogan, since they live so long and the Krogan are durable. The Krogan. They're the ones that would probably, I could see coming out, or the Asari, maybe humans. Just because groups like Cerberus, they're, you know, or groups like that would probably be trying to come up, like you said. But I think the Krogan would be on the top of my list, just because look at their planet, like look at the conditions they survived in. They're built for this, literally. So I could put my money on them.
Yeah, and especially if you cured the Genophage. But on the human note, the Citadel is then right above London. Right? So the Citadel is right off of the human home planet, and the humans were just critical in defeating the Reapers. So I feel like we could probably expect to see a big political power grab from the humans in a post-destroy Milky Way. What do you think, Magister?
Definitely. I think the destroy ending actually probably has the most potential to have a lot more dark... that we'll see, like, you have the KGB level Solarians on their own little planet getting up to who knows what. You have the humans who, yes, like you said, are this instrumental in stopping the Reapers and now has a Citadel on top, but they're also isolated, so who knows what they're going to get up to. You have the Asari, which the concern for them would be what's the baby boom and everything like that. And a lot of them are isolated with just other Asaris. Well, guess what? You're going to have a lot more Ardiak Yakshis building up now. And then also the Krogan. Krogan are a lot more like chief and like war mentality. Well, guess what? You cured the Genophage. Now you got a whole lot of Krogans who are probably like angry that there's no more Reapers to fight. I want to have the same legacy of my ancestors who fought against the Reapers. What am I going to do now? There's a lot of potential of clusters going on there.
What I'm hearing you say is there is so much potential for a next game in a post-destroy because there needs to be conflict, right? But anyway, we're getting towards the end of this. So I just want to toss it to each of you. And I want to pose a question real quick. If you had to choose one of them to live in, not to play, but to live in, if you had to choose one of these Milky Ways to live in, which one would it be? I'll start with you, Magister. Post-control, post-synthesis, or post-destroy, which one would you choose to live in?
To be truthful, I probably, as much as my canon ending is synthesis, I probably would actually go with the control universe. Because just the thought of the advancements that could be there, yes, it might be a bit much what's the God state, but at the same time, like, there'll probably be a lot more peaceful society, as long as It's probably not going to be great for the first beginning, but I feel like it will have a lot more of a sturdy civilization for the millennia to come.
All right. I like that answer. And Jamar, how about you? If you had to choose one of these Milky Ways to live in, which would it be?
Yeah, definitely Control. I mean, as me, myself, like, it seems the most chill. Synthesis, I mean, like, I feel like I'd have, like, an identity crisis. Like, I'm half synthetic. And I'd rather be myself in Control. You know, the technological advances could help out. I'm probably not even going to notice, like, all the dark stuff behind the scenes because I'm a regular guy, you know. So, yeah, definitely Control.
All right, and Genesis, are you here with us?
I am here.
Genesis is in the room, everybody. Genesis, if you had to pick a post-Control, post-synthesis, or post-destroy Milky Way to live in, which would it be?
It's a difficult toss-up between synthesis and destroy. I don't like the idea of an overseer, of an overpower that I have no control or no say in. But if my body is altered in a way that I have no control over, but it benefits me in some way, I'd rather have that rather than an overlord. So either destroy and nuke it all and let's start from the beginning, or have a universe-wide upgrade that affects everybody equally.
Yeah, I like that answer as well. For me, I'm going to have to go rah-rah America, Bruce Springsteen, Chevrolet, apple pie, bald eagles, hell yeah. And I'm going to have to quote Benjamin Franklin in saying, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." And I'm saying that because I would say, yes, I believe that in a post-Control Milky Way, we would be more safe because we have Shepard wielding the Reapers to guard us. We may be more safe in a synthesis ending. We may be more safe. However, we are less free. And we are less free to determine our own future. In fact, there has never been a level of freedom that organic races have known, such as you would get in Destroy. Because ultimately, the Reapers were still charting the course of everyone's future for billions and billions of years before that. And so I will have to choose dangerous freedom over safe servitude.
Hey, actually, you just inspired me. Can I change to shooting the kid? that's what I want.
That's right. Actually, you know what? We forgot to talk about Refuse. What would a post-Refuse galaxy look like? Let's just do it really quick. I think the Yogg are taking over. That's just what I think. Magister, what do you think?
Absolutely. It's going to be the Yogg. It's going to be a combination of the Yogg and maybe some Krogans that somehow survived, and Rakanai. Maybe as well. So,
Rakanai is a great answer. I didn't consider the possibility that they may survive a Refuse ending. Mjamar, what do you think a post Refuse ending looks like for Milky Way?
I didn't think of Rakanai either. Them or the Yogg, or I forgot what the worms are on the Krogan planets.
Oh yeah, those my are taking god! Over. Those the are Thresher Maws. You know, yeah, what I was thinking? If it's a Refuse ending, obviously the Reapers still are around, and then they'll come back in another 50,000 years. Let's assume that the Yogg do find Liara's beacon, and they have a step up even more than the previous cycle did about the construction of the Crucible. If the Yogg, let's assume that a Yogg gets to the same place as Shepard in the Crucible and in some kind of final beam run situation, which ending is a Yogg picking? I think the Yogg is always picking Control.
Agreed.
It's funny because I feel like I just immediately think of the Yogg like shooting the kid. Like that's because I see them as just violent though. But I could see the Control too. I mean, he literally was a Shadow Broker, so I mean. Yeah, that makes sense.
The Refuse ending begetting another Refuse ending is so meta, it's hilarious, and I love that. Magister, what do you think?
Absolutely. Is there's going to be the child just sitting there like, again? Fine.
So be it. So be it yet again. Genesis, what do you think a post-refuse ending would look like if a Yogg is getting to the Crucible?
If a Yogg gets there, they're definitely going control, but it could also be the Rally. The Rally. The bird people.
Yes, and the bird person. yes, you're right, because they kind of went into sheltering. And what about the virtual aliens? The virtual mm-hmm. aliens, also a valid part of Mass Effect lore, so who knows? I mean, wouldn't that be dope if the virtual aliens somehow hacked into, like, the Catalyst's own mind and then took it over, and then all of a sudden we have this, like, you know, amorphic overlord that was relegated to irrelevance for so long. That would actually be kind of terrifying. I don't know if I'd want that, but but anyway, that is all the time we have for today, Spectres. This has been a really fun conversation, and I wish it could go on longer, but we do try to limit these episodes to about an hour. Tom, I wish you were here as well, because I feel like Tom would have really enjoyed some of the conversations about, you know, post-war recovery and governmental rebuilding, and especially spirituality. But anyway, guys, that's all the time I have for today. Next week, we are going to be talking about Rex. We're going to be starting our episodes on Rex. Everybody loves Rex. And we will be starting with the earliest known lore about Rex, which I believe comes from his own mouth in Mass Effect 1. And that'll be fun, talking about Rex's origin stories, if we can call it that. And then from there, we will try and intermix some episodes between the Rex episodes with more corporation episodes, but we'll see how much more we have left to do. So I'm going to toss it around the circle here with the patrons, and you guys can talk about what you got going on. Why don't we start with Genesis?
Yeah, I am one half of the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. We are currently in our Mass Effect Andromeda season, and having a lot of fun going through the galaxy once again. I'm also co-host of the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we explore the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future for all things cyberpunk. We recently had Teacup, who has been on this show, again talking about religion and religion in cyberpunk, and that was a really interesting conversation with him.
Man, that is, I gotta listen to that. That sounds intriguing. The episode where Teacup and Cheekup came on to talk about comparing Shepard to Jesus is probably still one of my favorites, even though I had one of the least productive episodes objectively, because I was just so out of my element. I don't know how much I actually contributed there. But Magister, what do you got going on? How can people get a hold of you?
Magister DeVita. People can find me here on the Discord, on the Patreon, channel as well. Currently not doing anything too lively, but feel free to chat up with me if you want to talk about any particular things. Just finally beat Baldur's Gate 3 for the first time in a year and some change, because I kept getting choice paralysis and choosing different creators, different classes and everything like that. So all good.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. Baldur's Gate 3 is amazing. I love that game. I played through it once. I exhausted as much as I could possibly do. I think it was like close to 300 hours in one playthrough. I got to do it again. Genesis just turned on her camera, and you've got quite a few pictures of Astarion behind you. I think she's an Astarion stan.
Maybe just a little.
Oh, and I see one of Lazelle as well. And is that Halson?
No, that's Varric.
Ah, Varric.
From Dragon Age.
Gotcha.
Yeah, is that Iron Bull too?
That is the Iron Bull, yes.
That's right. But, speaking of Dragon Age, we've got a new one coming out in like less than a week.
Yeah, I'm a huge Dragon Age fan, so I'm definitely going to be looking at that for sure.
Man. All right, M. Jamar, how can people get a hold of you? What do you got going on?
Nothing really. You know, MJ Marr, hit me up on the Discord if you want to talk about Mass Effect, anime, gaming, any of that, you know. But it was great to be here. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Of course. I always love talking with you guys. All right. Spectres, that's all we got for this week. But come back next week and we'll have some wrecks for you. Some fresh wrecks. All right, guys. Until next time.
I should go.
Logging you out, Shepard.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.